Welcome to the National Awakening Conference call. My name is Marlon Sharp. I am the National Field Director for STAND. And our guest, our speaker today is Bishop E.W. Jackson. So I will open in prayer and then turn it over to Bishop Jackson. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much for the opportunity today to gather together again and to hear a word from your servant. We thank you so much for Bishop and for what he has accomplished, what you have done through him over these years, and we ask, Lord, you would continue to prosper him and continue to show him what you would have him to do in the days ahead. Thank you so much for America. We thank you so much for this country because we recognize that, as Bishop has often said, it is a gift from you. And we're so grateful for being able to live here and experience the freedoms that we have had. And now we see that those freedoms are being eroded. Sometimes little by little, but sometimes in big chunks. And so we just thank you that that you have not abdicated. You are still on the throne, and we can depend on you to get things turned around. And we need you to turn things around. We need an awakening in this country. We need a revival in this country. And because it is basically a spiritual matter. It's not just political. It is a spiritual matter. We give this to you, and we ask, Lord, you would speak through Bishop Jackson today and enable him to speak clearly what you would have him to say for our encouragement and for building us up in not just in the faith, but in our work as servants and as patriots for this country. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you, Pastor Marlon. Thanks, everybody, for joining us. This is one of those moments where you could say, where do I begin? because there's so much to cover. So let me start here and tell you the big thing that is really important to us right now and ask all of you to help us with it. June the 11th is coming up. That is the date of our STAND Awards dinner this year. For the first time, we are hosting it in a church. In the past, we've always done it in a hotel. We used two separate hotels the last 2 years. We've done it at the Tyson's Corner Marriott. But this year, we're holding it at Cornerstone Chapel in Leesburg, Virginia. And we are really excited about that, excited about partnering with Pastor Gary, the pastor of Cornerstone. And excited about that congregation and getting to know those folks because they are certainly standing with us. We think that's gonna be big, and we really believe this is a move of God because we were going back and forth about where to hold it. And when I went to Pastor Gary Hamrick's church to speak, and he was talking about this new building that they built, I didn't think anything of it. Then it was later on, a couple days later, I got thinking, you know, I wonder if that building might be suitable for an event like this, or even they'd be willing to host an event like this, to have it there. I talked to him, and he immediately said, absolutely. He said, I think it would be great. It's a great venue, seats 320 people maximum. We would be glad to work with you on it. And frankly told us we won't charge you for the room. You know, we got to pay for catering, of course, and all of the things that we have to do normally. But he said, well, we're not going to charge you for it. You know, we're happy to have you use it. STAND is a 501c3. It's certainly legally compatible. So we're just very, very grateful to him. And very excited and grateful to his congregation as well. Got a great church there. That's June the 11th, and we're asking all of you to put that on your calendar. I know if you're, you know, depending on where you are, it may be a hall, but we're asking people to come from around the country. It's always been that way. People come from all over the country to be a part of this. And, in fact, in 1 year we had Star Parker come from California to do it because that's where she lives. So wherever you are, please prepare yourselves to come and be a part of this. We'll have more information on hotels and whatnot as we get a little bit closer. That, in fact, that'll be coming pretty soon because we're meeting on a weekly basis now as we lead up to this. I think we got about 11 weeks or so, maybe 10, before the dinner. So very exciting. Now, just so you know, our honorees this year are Brigitte Gabriel, and I'm sure all of you know who she is, founder of Act for America. That organization was one of the most clarion voices for dealing with Islamic terror and the threat of radical Islam and the threat that Islam poses, period, as a competing ideology for American principles of liberty. And she's just been a clarion voice for that. That organization is organized all over the country. They're active all over the country, I should say. She's one of our honorees, Dr. Johnny Hunter. And you all may not know him, but Johnny Hunter is somebody I've admired for a long time because he's been in the forefront of the pro-life movement, particularly in the black community, when there really weren't any voices. I mean, or certainly not many. And he's been the most consistent, the most prominent, the most outspoken. In fact, I think the only person who comes close but Johnny Hunter predates him, is the person we're honoring posthumously, which is Dean Nelson. So Dr. Johnny Hunter, as president of Learn Life Education, forgive me that I don't have that acronym right in front of me, but he has been called the godfather of the black pro-life movement. So we're honoring him. Sandy Rios, I'm sure all of you know Sandy Rios. If you don't, you ought to. She is a former governmental relations director for the American Family Association, a former fellow talk show host with me on American Family Radio, and she now runs Sandy Rios 24/7, her podcast, that is. She and is continually out there. She works very closely with Jenny Thomas on Groundswell, some of the things that Jenny Thomas is doing. Sandy has been with her, working closely with her for a long time. I had done some of that, but just found my bandwidth just could not handle it. Sandy Rios has stuck with it. She's just been a conservative stalwart. And then I mentioned already the late Bishop Dean Nelson. He has gone home to be with the Lord, but this man has been a pioneer in race relations. He started the Frederick Douglass Institute. And he's also been a tremendous pro-life leader, mainly institutional, more than entrepreneurial. He worked for CareNet. In fact, he was president of CareNet at one point and was working for another organization down in Dallas when he passed away. I think it was the Human Life Coalition, if I'm not mistaken, the Human Life Coalition. These are outstanding people. And last but certainly not least, Pastor Gary Hambrick. Pastor Gary is the senior pastor of Cornerstone Chapel, but he has had some battles because he is outspoken, he is unequivocal in his biblical stance, and he has gotten into trouble with the IRS over it and so forth, but he has stood the test and refused to bow. So he's another one of those people. These are all folks who will be getting the George Washington Award for taking a stand, the George Washington Award for taking a stand. And we don't know exactly who some of our other honored guests will be. We're working on that right now, but we got a number of people. As you all know, Senator Ted Cruz has always done a video for us to bring us greetings and congratulate us. He's done that. He and I have talked. He will at least do that again. It does not look like he'll be able to show up, but we're still hoping that maybe that'll happen. But if not him, maybe someone else from the Senate will be able to get there to bring their congratulations as well to these honorees and to our organization. So that's June the 11th at 7 p.m. at Cornerstone Chapel, 650 Battlefield Parkway, Southeast in Leesburg, Virginia. Tickets are $125. And you all probably know this. We've done this each year. That when so many of our sponsors cannot be there, cannot fill up their table quota, and they ask us to donate tickets. So I would ask you to support us financially, but if you're not in a position to do that, maybe you want to donate something. But if you're not in a position to buy a $125 ticket, stand by. There will probably be some tickets available as we get closer to the dinner. We can't do that right now because we're still in the process right now of assembling our sponsors. So just stand by for that one way or the other. We certainly solicit your prayers because this, folks, is the most significant fundraiser we do in the course of the year. This This fundraiser supplies about half of our budget at least. And so it is a very, very big thing for us. And we really solicit your prayers and your support. So that's number one. The second thing I want to mention is, I think I've mentioned it on this call before, but I'm now doing Truth and Liberty with Andrew Womack Ministries every Thursday, 5:30 p.m. Eastern Time. You can get that on gospeltruth.tv, gospeltruth.tv. That is a national program, and it's going to expand because Andrew Womack Ministries is creating their own cable television network, and that is going to be a program that will be airing nationwide on all the cable systems in the country. So it is going to be widely seen. I'm always looking for good guests. I'm always looking for people to be on the program. I just debuted last week myself as a regular weekly host. And so I just ask you all to pray for me. And if you have some suggestions about guests, please tell Pastor Marlon, and he'll pass it along to my Truth and Liberty producer, and we'll get in touch with those people and see if we can have them as guests on the program. As always, we want to try to bring people to you who are going to encourage you and inspire you and edify you and inform you as well. All right, with those things out of the way, let me just say that if you haven't seen it yet, please email me, ewjackson@ewjackson.com, and say, hey, I have not seen the video, but I'm pretty sure you can see it. In fact, I know you can see it now on our YouTube channel. You have to search for a little bit on Facebook. I'd probably have to do the same thing on the YouTube channel. But you can find it on our YouTube channel, E.W. Jackson YouTube channel. You can find it on Facebook, E.W. Jackson SR on Facebook. But if you can't find it or you're having any kind of difficulty locating it, then please let us know, and we will send you the link that you can see. Oh, and you can see it on Stand America PAC. What am I thinking? Yeah, you can see it on standamericapac.us. It's right on the homepage there. Yeah, that's probably the easiest way to see it. That's linked to YouTube. But you can see it on standamericapac.us, standamericapac.us. If you haven't seen it, please watch that video because it really is outstanding. And I don't say that because I produced it. I say it because of the issues that it addresses, because what this video does is, once again, it makes the direct appeal to the black community. I want to get it to as many black folks, many Americans of African ancestry as I can, to tell them, come out of the Democrat Party. It is demonic. It is depraved. It is degenerate. It is corrupt. It is indecent. It is dishonest. It is every negative thing you can imagine has become the haven of demons. It is a repository of all that is wrong. I call it the party of Antichrist, because everything God is for, they're against. Everything God is against, they're for. It is a terrible place for Christians to be giving their loyalty, their fealty, their commitment. It just they shouldn't be doing it. But I make a particular argument in this video, and you've got to see it and watch it, and I think you will find it very, very compelling. I've been praying about this and thinking about this for a long time. This has been a long time coming, so we're calling it Exodus Now, the sequel. Now, we haven't done this yet, but Marlon, this is for you too. What we're going to do is put on that website an Exodus Now sign up, because, you know, we've had Blexit. And I said, but before there was Blexit, there was Exodus Now, because the first video was seen by millions of people. So we want to create a formal way for people to say, I am coming out of the Democrat Party, particularly Americans of Hispanic descent, of African descent, of any other minority descent, or for that matter, even if you are an American of European descent, but your grandmother and your grandfather and your great, they were all Democrats, and but you've decided, I'm coming out. We want you to. You know, I don't like creating racially segregated things. I like everything to be available to everybody. I think we're moving in the wrong direction when we just segregate. But this particular video is directed at Americans of African ancestry because they vote so overwhelmingly for a party that has done them such great damage. And I just want to speak to them clearly and unequivocally. So by all means, check that out. Make a donation to the effort to help us to get it out far and wide, if we want to boil these down ultimately to one-minute spots and get them on television, 30-second spots, get them on television, one-minute spots, get them on radio. Right now we're just using social media because we're just getting the process started. So please help us with that. We would really appreciate it. Okay, now here's the last thing I want to mention. I want to open it up for questions and comments. Let's see, how am I doing? I'm doing just fine. Plenty of room for questions and comments right now because I shouldn't take up much more time than I've already taken up. You know, this you could call this a revelation, but it's certainly an insight. You know, I have really become from time to time frustrated, exasperated with conservatives who are willing to compromise their most fundamental principles, or what I consider to be the most fundamental principles of conservatism, and go down a wrong road. This happened most recently. I'm sure all of you are aware of the row between Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens. Well, let me just say, I don't care what Ben Shapiro and Candace Owens are arguing. It's of no interest to me whatsoever. It really isn't. I mean, you know, people have their disagreements. I am much more interested in what this issue is over. And it's over Candace Owens claiming that Israel is committing genocide against the Palestinian people. That is a lie out of the pit of hell. It is simply not true. And I just could not believe that Candace Owens was the person saying that. But she is. But then again, I'll just tell you all up front, since this has come out, I've always had this problem with Candace Owens. That Candace Owens supports same-sex marriage. Candace Owens supports, quote-unquote, the gay community. I mean, she put out a notice last June to celebrate Pride Month, you know, Happy Pride Month and all this. So, and believe it, this is not for some personal attack on Candace Owens. That's not the point I'm ultimately making. I'm using her as an example in this instance. But this is the insight. You know, we have got to understand the difference between biblical worldview conservatives and people who are just conservative because they are, because they happen to logically come to the conclusion that conservative ideas seem to be more effective or more productive, to make more sense, and they do. But if they're not biblical worldview conservatives, then they are liable to go off the rails at any moment. And I think that's exactly what we have here in Candace Owens. She's going off the rails because she's not a biblical worldview conservative. She is more of maybe an economic conservative or I don't know how to categorize it, but clearly not a biblical worldview conservative, because a biblical worldview conservative would not support same-sex marriage or relationships or homosexuality or all this gender confusion in any way. And a biblical worldview conservative is going to stand behind Israel, because we understand that Israel is under an ongoing death threat by the devil, because they are covenant people of Almighty God. And I didn't mince words when I said that. They are covenant people of Almighty God, and the devil has wanted to destroy them since the Inquisitions in Spain and right on down through the ages, when Jews have been targeted for destruction because some leader, Haman, maybe go back to Haman. Some leader got it in his head that the Jews were the problem and that the best way to solve the problem was to destroy all the Jews. Now, that's the death threat that Israel functions under on an ongoing basis. And Hamas and the Palestinian Authority are dedicated to the destruction of Israel. They have never renounced their commitment to seeing Israel destroyed. Now, anybody who claims to be conservative can say, well, Israel is committing genocide. Well, what Israel is doing is exactly what they should be doing, which is trying to destroy Hamas' ability to wage war against them. And that's what the purpose of war is. You fight
to end the enemy's ability or will to fight you. Now, they didn't start this, but they, by the grace of God, sure do need to finish it. And so I would just say this then, leaving aside that particular. You know, we've got to be clear that our conservatism is based not on following personalities or celebrities, but based upon convictions and principles. And when people go off those convictions or principles, we stop supporting them. It's just that plain and simple. Now, understanding that nobody's going to be perfect, you know, nobody's going to get every issue the way we think they ought to, but there are some fundamentals, and you've got to be right about these. I mean, if you're not right about the issue of life, I can't support you. I can't. If you're not right about the issue of marriage and gender and how God created us as human beings, I cannot support you. And if you are not right about Israel, I cannot support you, period. Now, there are some other things as well, but I would just say those are such fundamental, basic issues for someone with a biblical worldview conservatism that there's no room for compromise on those. There's just no room. You know, we might be able to compromise on budget, and we might be able to compromise, well, should the interest rate be lowered, or should the interest rates be lowered 1 basis point or 2 basis points, or should they be increased? I mean, you know, reasonable people can have disagreements about economic theory, but you can't. But Christians can't disagree about these fundamental issues, because if you disagree about these fundamental issues, I call into question your Christian bona fides. Because the Bible speaks so clearly to it. It's not a matter of opinion. It's a matter of truth. So, as we chart the future for our country, we want to beware. And by the way, this to make clear, I'm not in any way trying to give in some kind of backhanded slap at Donald Trump, because I am 1,000% supportive of Donald Trump. But I am 1,000% supportive of Donald Trump because what I believe Donald Trump stands for, not because he's Donald Trump. And if he were to stop tomorrow or today standing for the things that I believe he stands for, my support would end at that moment. We don't have a religious cult-like devotion to people, no matter what they say, think, or do. Our commitment is based upon their commitment to principles that we ought to hold so dear, more dear than life itself. And so this is what this whole flap has gotten me thinking about, because in charting the course of our future, we need leaders who we know are going to be steadfast and immovable and always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that their labor is not in vain in the Lord. Those are the kind of leaders we got to be looking for. We got to be looking for leaders who have some basis other than their own logic for believing the things they do and pursuing the policies they pursue. We got to find leaders who we know when the pressure is on, they're not going to fold. Now, I'm not talking about perfect leaders, because there aren't any. Jesus is the only perfect leader there is. Aside from him, all have their flaws. But I'm just saying, on these fundamentals, we've got to be clear that we're following principles, not following a person. And so I know Candace Owens, don't know her that well, so I don't want to pretend otherwise, but I do know her, I've met her, talked to her, spoken at Blexit, and I like her, but I can't support her. I can't support her, because to me, that is such a fundamental issue that if you get that one wrong, I can't trust you on anything. And now she's gotten two wrong, actually, two out of three. She's wrong on marriage, now she's wrong on Israel. I mean, that's, You know, if you were a politician running for office and you were wrong on marriage and wrong on Israel, I don't care how long you've been a Republican, you wouldn't get my vote. I could not in good conscience vote for you. So biblical worldview conservatism is different than conservatism, because there's no telling what you're liable to get out of people who claim to be conservative, but you ought to know exactly what you're going to get out of someone who holds a biblical worldview conservatism, because it's rooted and grounded in the truth of God's word. So, look, we're Stand are going to continue to press ahead. I mean, the basis of our organization, our mission, is to bring people together across racial and cultural lines to uphold our Judeo-Christian principles, values, heritage. What are those principles based upon? The Word of God. Not just empty traditions of men, but the Word of God. And that's who we are. That's who we're going to remain. We ask for your support. And so I want to open it up now to any questions or comments that you'd like me to respond to. Again, I do solicit your support, your attendance, too, at our Stand Awards Dinner, June the 11th at Cornerstone Chapel. That's right here in Northern Virginia, 650 Battlefield Parkway, Southeast Leesburg. It is going to be a great time in the Lord. We're honoring Brigitte Gabriel, Dr. Johnny Hunter, Sandy Rios, the late Bishop Dean Nelson posthumously, and Pastor Gary Hambrick. Hope you'll be there. All right, let me stop there and ask, are there any questions or comments? Yes, I'll take what there is for the next few minutes, and if there aren't any more, we'll end the call early. So let's go ahead and take what we've got.
Praise the Lord, everybody. This Pastor Ham.
Praise the Lord, Pastor Ham.
Yes, indeed. Yes, indeed. Bishop, thank you for all that you do and all that you stand for. And may the Lord continue to bless and keep you in that vein. Amen. I have one question that is of great concern for us. Our governor, Youngkin.
Yeah.
When he signed the HB 174, can you give me an understanding of what that meant in its totality, please?
Well, thank you. Thank you, Pastor Vela. First of all, just appreciate you and your prayers and your continued support of our organization. Hope to see you at the dinner, too. Look, there are two arguments about this. One argument is, well, it's already a done deal. The Supreme Court's already spoken. It's already the law of the land. So what difference does it really make? That's one argument. So he just basically signed something that was, you know, I mean, it's really already done, has no real effect. I disagree with that. I think Governor Youngkin signing that bill was a betrayal. Because this is my attitude. We should never surrender any territory at all, even if it's a Pyrrhic victory, even if we're simply taking a principled stand. We've got to take the stand, because otherwise we communicate to our fellow Christians and to the world that we've already lost and we've given up. So I don't know what the legal implications of this will be. I haven't studied that with any depth. But whether the legal implications are significant or insignificant or non-existent, I think we've got to always take a principled stand of opposition. And I've heard many politicians say we ought to leave it alone because we've lost on the gay marriage issue. And I say, you know, if we took that attitude about life, Roe v. Wade would never have been overturned. We have to take this attitude that we know what is right. We're going to stand up for it, even if the whole world goes in a different direction. We're going to stand up for what we know is right in the sight of God, period. And unfortunately, that is not what the governor did. And it's a disappointment to me. Sometimes you don't know whether they're listening to the wrong counsel or whether they're revealing where they're really coming from when politicians do this kind of stuff. But again, this is what I said, the difference between a biblical worldview conservatism and just conservatism. Because as you all know, before he ran for office, he gave money to his business, to be technically correct, gave money to Hillary Clinton and donated to the Southern Poverty Law Center, which is about as virulent and anti-Christian bigoted organization as you ever want to find. I mean, they declared American Family Radio and American Family Association to be hate groups and Family Research Council to be a hate group because we take a biblical stand on marriage and a biblical stand on life and a biblical stand on gender. They declared us a hate group and basically told the FBI that we need to be watched. I mean, so, and he gave, his business gave money to that organization. Now, of course, he claims he didn't really know and all of that, and I trust that wouldn't happen again. But it gave me pause at the very beginning. It gave me pause, but I thought, well, you know what? I'm going to give him the benefit of the doubt. He's a Christian, and that's what I'm going to just, I'm going to rest on that. But here again, these doubts are raised. These questions are raised by his behavior. So, I pray for the man, love the man. Maybe he's a brother in Christ. He's just kind of, under the pressure of politics, which can happen. But again, that's why I said, I'll just reiterate, we as Christians have got to have a biblical worldview conservatism, which means that we stand on what we know is right, even if the whole world is going in the opposite direction. We simply cannot compromise, because when we do, we're betraying our God and betraying his word, and we owe our first loyalty to him, not to the Republican Party, not to the state of Virginia, not even to the United States of America. And I think you all know I'm fiercely loyal to my country, but our first loyalty is owed to Almighty God and to his word. And I think when we do that, it puts everything else in its proper perspective. Now, I can be fiercely loyal to my country, but I'm fiercely loyal to my country in light of what God requires of me, not based on some kind of weird thing like the left is always trying to paint us to be, you Christian nationalists, like we love America because we hate other people, which is just another lie out of the pit of hell. We love America. This is our home, and it's a great place to live, and it's rooted and grounded in God's word and in biblical truth, and we want to preserve that, and we can love everybody in the world, but we don't owe everybody in the world the same stewardship responsibility that we owe our own country, and therein is the basis of our patriotism. It's mature. It's good stewardship. It's reasoned, it's rational, it's not this craziness that the left tries to paint it to be. And I don't make any excuses or offer any apologies for it whatsoever. I am a patriot and I love my country, but it's because the love of God compels me to love America, to love our people. So that's biblical worldview conservatism as opposed to something that can shift with the wind. Like, yeah, I'm conservative, but China's really great. The Chinese Communist Party. Yeah, let's let them buy up our land and let's let them infect our colleges and universities. And yeah, what's the problem? Let's let them broadcast to our young people on TikTok and show our young people they need to hurt themselves and commit suicide and not be loyal to America and all that. So that's no problem. But I'm conservative. Yeah, really? I don't know what kind of conservatism that is, but it's certainly not biblical worldview conservatism, because biblical worldview conservatism says we ought to do everything in our power to stop the influence of a demonic atheist regime influencing our people and our country, period. And they don't have – Communist China has no First Amendment rights in America. Let me just make that clear. You do, I do, every citizen does, but China – Communist China has no First Amendment rights in the United States of America as a matter of national security. So let's just set the record straight on that one. because, you know, these people running around talking about we're being like them. No, we're not being like them. We're being good stewards of our national security by stopping these people who are our avowed enemies from infiltrating our country and undermining us from within. Now, I mean, come on, that's just common sense. You don't even have to be enlightened or have revelation knowledge to get that one. That's just basic, good old common sense. I mean, how stupid can we be to turn our country over to people who we know want our destruction? So, but you got a lot of conservatives making a lot of money off China and doing it quite happily and justifying it along the way. And, you know, they're just wrong, wrong, wrong. All right, let's take one more call.
Bishop?
Yes.
I just wanted to respond also to that question. I spoke to our state senator and asked her about that, and she said they also stuck race in that bill. And you know what the Democrats will do. If he had vetoed that bill, they would have attacked him for being opposed to interracial marriage.
Yeah, that's the game they're playing. That's the game they're playing. But you know what? We've got to communicate to people what the truth is. I mean, period. Because, see, this is what they've done. They've married homosexuality and being black. And it's a political ploy. It's a strategy. I mean, so if you are against same-sex marriage or homosexuality, you're automatically a racist because don't the two go together? So I tell you what, if I were governor and a bill like that came to my desk, I would not sign it, and I wouldn't care what people said. Of course, you know, being black, maybe they wouldn't, attack me in the same way they might attack him. But you know what? So what? I mean, my goodness gracious. If you play that game with them, they'll end up owning the country because they're going to ride that pony all the way to the seat of power. You know, we're a minority too, and you know, if you don't treat us right, it means you don't want to really treat black people right. I mean, I am disgusted by that marriage, if you'll forgive the term, that marriage of black and gay, black and gay, black and gay. I respond to that, by the way, in Exodus Now. They treat that like it's one word now. I mean, like the two are the same. So, yeah, of course they did. It doesn't surprise me one bit. Doesn't change my mind about it. Okay, let's take a call.
Yes. Hello, Bishop. This is Dr. Marlene McMillan in Texas.
Dr. Marlene, great to hear from you.
Well, blessings to you and all of you and yours. What I want to bring up, you've been using the term biblical worldview. And we have a mutual friend through Christian Education Initiative named Dan Smithwick that many of our listeners here may also be familiar with. And Dan has a test called the PEERS test, which stands for Politics, Economics, Education, Religion, and Social Issues, that is now online. People can get immediate feedback to determine whether they are a biblical theist, a moderate Christian, a secular humanist, or a downright socialist. And I'm sorry to say we're actually getting from Christian schools now some of the first results coming back with socialist. But my point here is that everyone can go to worldviewcheckup.org and put in an ambassador code if you have one. If not, just do it without. Ours is AMB120. You may have one that they should use. But they put in this information. It's a very small fee, and they get immediate feedback as to their own worldview and access to position papers on situations going on or issues in the country. You may not agree with it all, but I think it's something that all of our listeners ought to know about, take, and then get into their churches and Christian schools, because it calls people to the line. Do you really have a biblical worldview or not? So thank you for letting me share that.
All right. Marlene, thank you so much. You're absolutely right. I,
I think most Christians don't even know what a biblical worldview is, and I dare say most Christians don't have one either. And I think that's what these tests tend to demonstrate. But I hope that's getting corrected, since more and more people are now talking about biblical worldview Christianity, which is really the only authentic Christianity there is. If you're a Christian, you're supposed to have a biblical worldview, which means that your outlook on life and on everything is supposed to be informed by Scripture, not race, not political party, but Scripture. So, all right, well, listen, that's going to do it then, because we're out of time pretty much anyway. I'm looking for all to see all of you at the Stand Awards dinner, June the 11th, 7 p.m. at Cornerstone Chapel, 650 Battlefield Parkway Southeast, Leesburg, Virginia. I hope all of you can come and make it a great time in the Lord for us, and a great fundraiser. So please be praying for us. We really do solicit your prayers. I think you all know that is not a throwaway line or something I say because I think it sounds good. I say it because I really mean it, and I say it because we really do need your prayers. So God bless each and every one of you. Stand up, step up, speak up, refuse to back up, because we cannot be defeated if we will not quit, because we are on God's side.